Yo, 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 what is good? It's your boy, Greg Lunt. It's August 2nd, Wednesday, and back on the Wednesday grind this week. Last week I slipped a Thursday. That was 2 out of 3 weeks that I didn't hit this fucking thing on time, but I am good to go today. It's about 1:40 p.m. in the afternoon, and I feel good. I just had my apartment cleaned, professionally cleaned, so that's always nice. The homie who was staying with me for the last 8 weeks moved off my couch last night, so I had the cleaning ladies come in and just kind of reset my whole apartment. I'm kind of a neat freak sometimes, so, I mean, the homie was obviously, like, he was very good with dealing with my particularness on certain things. I'm kind of anal, but he was great to have, and I'm gonna miss him, but it is nice to have my apartment back to myself. I love when the cleaning ladies come, dude. They're so nice, and they do a fucking good job, man. They get, like, you know, they take everything out of the cabinets and fucking, you know, just every little nook and cranny in the whole place is, like, on point. So, I'm pumped to have my spot back. I went for a hike today and yesterday. Yesterday, I ran into Anthony Davis, for any of you NBA fans, unibrow. Walked right by him at Runyon Canyon. Monster dude. I don't even know what he's listed at. He's probably like 6'1", I mean 7'1", 7'2", something like that. And just a freak. The unibrow, as thick as ever. He was by himself. Then he had like there was a dude like trailing him by like 15, 20 feet. And he like yelled up something to him. So it might have been like a trainer or something. But who else? And then who else did I see? I saw Carson Palmer's brother at Apple Store 2 days ago. And then even better, I saw someone call him Carson Palmer, and he just kind of like nodded and smiled. He probably gets that so much. I think his name's Jordan Palmer. Let me look him up real quick. I think it's Jordan Palmer. Yeah, he looks exactly like fucking Carson. But I recognized him. And who else did I see? I feel like I've been seeing mad people. Maybe that's it. But yeah, it's been good. Did I talk to you guys about... No, I couldn't have. On Saturday, I went to the beach with my brother and two other friends. And we tripped on shrooms. And it was really relaxing. And enjoyed myself a lot. Just kind of... not having the phone. I didn't touch my phone the entire day. It was like glorious. I actually had to go on it for a work thing for about literally like 2 minutes. And it felt like poisonous. I was just like, when I was done, I just like threw it back in my bag, like just like in disgust. I was like, oh, get that fucking thing away from me, you know? But it was dope because after we left the beach, so we were there for a few hours, maybe like 4 hours, and then we got in the car to leave, and we're all still kind of feeling it, and not that, you know, we had a sober driver, and I don't know what it was. I think it was just the combination of the time of day, where we were driving, and the drugs, and then the music we were playing. But the car ride back from Malibu to Hollywood was fucking incredible. It was like, I mean, the coolest thing about it was the landscape. Like, we were driving through these incredible mountains and trees, and it was along the water on the Pacific Ocean, and then we would dart back into the mountains, and like, it was just some really, really cool shapes and colors, and it just made me really like appreciate life. And it was really cool too, because I was in the fucking car, dude, and I felt like I was in a spaceship. Like, I want to be like, I was tripping, but like, because I literally was tripping. Like, but I would switch. The way I found to enjoy it the most, I would switch off from like looking around at all the landscapes and then like feeling in the car, like we're in this fucking metal box going 100 miles an hour, or at least it felt like that. You know, we're going 60, 70 miles an hour. And like all these bright lights whizzing by with also nature everywhere. And like, it was such a surreal experience. I felt like I was in a spaceship. And, you know, that we are in a spaceship when we're in a fucking car. It literally is just a spaceship. Like, we're just so used to it by now. But, and then we played fucking Kanye. We played Ultra Light Beam, which is the first track off of Life of Pablo, his album from 2016. And dude, if you know that song, it's like we're on an ultralight beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. And it's like, it's very, and it's got like choirs like, oh, and it's very like majestic and spiritual almost. And then it's just got like this verse from Chance, and Chance fucking just goes in on like basically just like these chords. The whole beat is just like chords, and then Chance just like spitting and like singing, and it's very like, this is my time kind of vibe, you know? And they're singing, we're on an ultralight beam, and I feel like I'm in this fucking spaceship zooming past the fucking mountains and the ocean. And, you know, me and my brother are sitting in the back, and I just have my arm around him, just kind of like, you know, this is what it's all about, dude. Like, you know, I even said to them, because there was this one point when we came out of the mountains and it opened up. And just, it was just beautiful. Like, the mountains in the foreground, instead of, like, on the sides of us as we were driving, it opened up in front of us. And there was this entire beautiful landscape with mountains. And we were just all like, oh, my God, this is so beautiful. And I was like, you know, I think about it a lot where, you know, you fast forward in your head. You're like, you know, one day I'm going to be killing it, right? And I'm going to be out on a yacht or out on, I'm going to be out with my friends, and it'll hit me like, you know, I'll have a drink in my hand with all my homies around me and just be like, you know, we made it, man. Like, we're doing it. Like, and I always look at that as like somewhere in the future, like some point that I'm going to get to that then I can, you know, but in that moment, we're driving in the car and we're all just kind of like in awe of what's around us. And I'm just like, dude, this is that moment, man. Like, this is the moment. You're with the homies and you're just like appreciating fucking life and the journey that you're finding, that you're on. And like, just being grateful for what you have and the perspective that you're on. And like, you know, it was just a cool experience. I haven't done shrooms in years. So, it was a really, really fun day, and, you know, it's been, I guess, 4 or 5 days since then, and I've just been fucking locked in, you know? Just been, like, recording podcasts and working hard, and I got hit up by someone that, you know, there's been a business opportunity, a job opportunity I've been looking at, you know, kind of for the last, like, 8 months, it's kind of been in the works, and that may come to fruition over the next few months. Now it's looking, you know, it's finally getting to a place where it might pan out. So that's exciting. And, you know, my football job that I got, the first conference call, like, of all the analysts, we're getting together on Monday. So that's only like 5 days away, and football's sneaking up on us, man. Hall of Fame game is tomorrow. So, you know, whatever, week one of preseason is kind of whatever, but like, for me, it's going to be big, because I'm going to start watching film, and I'm going to start, I'm just really excited, because I've been, you know, studying up, and it feels good, like everything's starting to click into place. And August is, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk has this thing about August, where he's like, you know, people slow down in August, they go on vacations, they take a deep breath, you know, they finish up their summer, and, you know, they're leaving early from work, and August is kind of that time where you go out on the boat and or whatever you do, right? So that also leaves a huge white space for people like myself who are feel like you're just on the cusp of something. And this is the time when you go all in even harder and you double down in August because everyone's kind of moving at half speed. You get your shit together so hard so that you can crush Q4 and just dominate. That's how I feel. So August is going to be more of the same fucking grind. Yeah, man. So I got a lot of, you know, it's nice. I'm at the point where every day I know what my priorities are, but I still have a lot of free time and I'm saving a little bit of money and I'm just really happy. But yeah, again, I get my place back, which will be sweet. And I don't know what else, dude. My softball. So I haven't given you guys a softball update in a while. So in the spring, you know, our team kind of sucked and we sucked. And then I started pitching and we started winning. We won the last like couple games and we were like, all right, let's sign up for the summer league now that we like kind of figured out our mojo a little bit. And we signed up and we started the first three games. We won 3-0. We scored like 30 runs in every game. But we also had like a fucking composite bat. So the kid on our team that bought the bat like knew it was illegal and bought it anyway. And then we kind of just used it because why not? Because our other two bats are literally just like pieces of shit. Like you might as well just pick up a metal rod, you know, out of the back shed and just swing it. It's just like there's no pop. It's just kind of like, so we had this other bat and we were like, whatever, we're going to use it. And then the ump last game was like, you guys can't use this bat anymore. So we're like, all right. We ended up losing the game, partly because of the bat, but mostly because it was just a bad game. We just had a bad game. I didn't pitch great. I didn't hit great. None of us really did anything particularly well. And so, you know, now I find out that, or I realize that, you know, the playoffs for this league are going to be on Sundays. And I got football coming up on Sundays. So I have to tell all the people on the team that I'm not going to be able to play in the playoffs, which sucks because I'm one of the main players on the team. And, you know, not to be like I'm so fucking important, but I know that, you know, there's not another pitcher ready to go that could just step in and take over. So it's going to be kind of a letdown. So I felt bad. So I bought a bat yesterday for the squad. It was like $100 and it's going to be, you know, it's obviously a legal bat, but now it'll be way better than the fucking pieces of shit that we were being forced to use. So hopefully that hedges a little bit the fact that, I mean, hopefully they'll understand, you know, like it's not like I just want to watch football. I'm doing this for my career. You know, I got a position to work as an analyst at this fantasy football website, and it requires me to spend my Sundays watching football. And that's just what it is. So, you know, as much fun as I have playing softball, there's no debate in my mind. Like, there's no hesitation in the fact that I'm going to be watching NFL games all Sunday, and that's it. 'Cause that's what I want to do. So hopefully they understand. They're cool kids, and I think I'm just going to donate the bat to the team so they can have it. And then, you know, I doubt we play in the fall just because it's going to be a continuation of NFL season. But hopefully back in the spring, maybe we can all get back together and start it up again. Because we do have a pretty good squad. So, yeah, I feel bad, but you know what? I bought them a fucking bat, so they'll get over it. And, yeah. What else is good? Snapchat keeps going down, which is fine. You know, nothing's really changed from, well, I guess something changed. They're not going to get accepted. The Snap stock will not get accepted into the S&P 500, I read. And I guess that hurts because you get less investors because most people like just betting on like funds and the actual S&P. I'm not super familiar with the stock market, so I can't say for sure, but to me that doesn't actually, it's just more perception stuff, maybe a little bit financial, but for the most part nothing's changed with the outlook of like Snap innovating and creating product. They still haven't, until they unleash what, you know, is going to be their next big move and that fails, until that happens, I'm bullish on Snap, because all of the little things that are coming out from inside Snap are positive. All the things that are talking about Snap are negative. So I don't really care about the talking heads. I don't really, like literally I just saw a TechCrunch article right next to the article that said that they won't be in the S&P 500. There's an article about how Instagram has more people on their stories than Snapchat stories. It's like, dude, are you gonna recycle that fucking narrative anymore? We've been talking about that for like a year. Stories have been on Instagram for a year. Why are we still comparing Instagram and Snapchat stories? It's just such a dead conversation. And it's literally like all anyone's holding on to is like, Instagram killed Snapchat. Like, bro, there's room for both. They're not the same thing. And so you see what I'm doing on, and then I'm getting fucking frustrated about it, but I don't actually care that much. It's just like, I don't get how people just keep latching on to the same fucking shit. It's like, get a new act, man. Like, if Snapchat was going to die because of that, it would already be dead. Like, they're coming. They're coming. What's interesting is I was asking a few kids just a few years younger than me, and they were saying they use Snapchat way more than Instagram. So I think there's still an appeal. There's a sex appeal to Snapchat a bit, just not having to be recorded. Like, I mean, you're talking to a different audience. It's a different experience, and there's more common. So Snapchat for me, again, Facebook was down for a full year before people started to realize, and the stock went up. It went down to about 50% of its IPO and then chilled there for a year for the most part and then went back up. So Snapchat IPO'd at 17 in like March or something, February or March, and it's at 13 now. And it's still going down, but it's not like nosediving. It's fucking gonna be chilling. And then talk to me next spring, next summer about Snapchat stock. And I have a funny feeling things are gonna be on the upswing. So did I buy it too early? Maybe. Am I gonna make money on Snapchat? I think I'm gonna make a good amount of money on Snapchat. So if not, look, I'll take the fucking L on Snap, but no one can talk to me about Snapchat right now and keep bringing up the same points, because you're fucking kicking a dead horse and you just sound stupid and you sound like you don't know what you're talking about because you're just a headline reader. So don't expose yourself by talking about the negatives of Snapchat when literally nothing has changed except you just get feeding into the negativity and letting other people tell you what to think about it. And that goes for a lot of shit, not just Snapchat. Do I even want to go here right now? I was just listening to fucking Joe Rogan and Eddie Bravo on Joe Rogan's podcast. And they were going into some conspiracy theory shit. Do I even want to go there? I mean, I kind of do, but I just don't have enough shit to back myself up. But it was some sketchy shit, man. They were talking, I mean, basically the moon is kind of like, it's a lock at this point. It's like, it's comical that, you know, at this point, looking back at the footage, like the pictures and videos that were put out about us landing on the moon, like how badly staged they were. You know, we haven't been back since. I mean, you know, these were pre-internet, pre-Photoshop, pre-all that. So it was like the video. But now looking back through clear eyes, it's really obvious. And they have some of the footage of like the green screen shit. And there's just a lot of evidence that's pointing to the moon landing not have happened. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't want to talk about it, but because it's still, you know, too soon. But some more 9/11 stuff they were talking about, and it's just like, it's just what I don't understand how people are so content to just fucking shut their eyes and ears off when they hear that people, innocent people, may have died. I mean, when you're in fucking Iraq and Afghanistan and you're shooting drones off from Washington, D.C., and you have, it's in you to say, you know, you're getting a report from someone on the ground in Iraq, and they're saying, okay, there's a house over here. We're 85 to 90% sure that the terrorist that we're aiming for is in there. There's going to be about 70 to 80 civilians going to get killed on this blast. Do we have the go-ahead? And someone in the U.S., the president, will say, okay, do it. And they fire it off and they kill innocent people. And you think that that's the only time that they're going to kill innocent people is overseas. What about the idea that the government is missing 2.3... Donald Rumsfeld came out and said to a news camera that the government cannot account for $2.3 trillion. This is not a conspiracy. This happened. Donald Rumsfeld. $2.3 trillion is unaccounted for. And then the next day is September 11th, and a missile gets launched into the Pentagon, into the accounting department, and blows all of that shit up. How do we think that they are not possible? They're not. How do we think that the government is not capable of killing people? Like, Tower 7. Okay, I'm going too far with this shit. I know most people don't want to hear about this shit. What bothers me more is not like what someone believes. Like, think whatever you want. But there is a problem with people. They're so scared to ask questions. And what they do is they just go, oh, you're conspiracy theorists. Conspiracy theorists. And you can hide behind the word conspiracy in some sick way for you being willfully ignorant and naive to facts that are being suggested and like brought to the table. It's all anecdotal to someone that for some reason continues to believe the government when we know that they've lied and we know that they've killed people and we know that it's all bullshit. Why, if that was a company or a business that you were doing business with and it came out that they said, hey, we're missing $2.3 trillion, would you keep doing business with that company? Or like all the shit over the years in the administrations in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s that all these lies have been coming out on people's deathbeds and through literature. But today's government, you know, I'm only going to allow time 20, 30, 40 years to pass before I even consider the bullshit. Like, do you think we know anything that's going on? Do you really think you know fucking anything that's actually going on? We don't know shit. We don't know shit, bro. All the shit on, there's so much information out there. They just fucking keep throwing stats in our face about the this and the that. Like the auto accidents and how many people die from cancer and da 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 da. And then they don't talk about how there's 800,000 to a million kids that go missing every year in the US. And the number one place that they go missing is in Washington, D.C. I mean, there's some shit, dude. And, you know, just why are people so content to fucking stay asleep? Wake the fuck up, man. Like, just ask a question or listen to a conversation that might make you uncomfortable. Do your own research. Stop pretending like everything's fucking fine. And stop pretending like you're not in control of your own life, too. Like, I feel like those go hand in hand. Where you just, you know what? The government's got it. I heard they said this. That's fine with me. You know, Let fucking crazy, let other people fucking question it and do all that crazy shit. I'm cool with that story. I'm turning my head around. Like, that is a sickening approach to... We have a government that controls everything in this country, and then people don't want to hold them accountable because, I don't know, are you scared? Does it make everything that you think in your life, like, does that make it a lie to admit that the government's... I mean, people will admit that the government lies and the government's killed, but then when you bring up, like, specific instances, they just turn their head and don't want to talk about it or call you a fucking quack. And... if you're not asking questions about the high-level shit, then you're definitely not asking questions about the little shit in life. And I don't know, man. Just stop following the fucking herd and think for yourself. And, you know, I don't know everything, but sure as hell don't believe what they're fucking telling me. You know? I don't even watch that shit anymore. Ever. I don't watch any of that news shit. I don't have Facebook. I don't fucking go on it. My Instagram is just a couple of friends and a couple of like funny sports and meme accounts and shit. I don't fucking keep track of any of the politics shit because it's all bullshit and you know it and you still feed into it and you act like the stats and the narratives that are being pushed to you about how this country's being run and what's happening in the world, you act like they're gonna fucking tell you. Why would they fucking tell you, dude? Because now everyone is their own little speaker box on the internet. Why would you tell people what you're really fucking up to? When really all we're just trying to do is like control the world, and we make it seem like are there still people out there that say that the Middle East hates us because we empower women and because we have freedom? Do people actually still believe that? Like, is that... or did that one just go by the wayside? Like, they hate us because we're fucking cunts. And we blow up their families and their towns. And then we send our people in and take their oil and shoot them with drones. Like, dude, we're dictators of the world. It's so interesting now because there's this... that weird dichotomy with, you know, America versus the rest of the world. And even with our allies, it's still... America's in its own kind of bubble, you know? And it's fascinating what's happening with the Connor and Floyd fight, because to me, it's almost as if that's like Americans... it's not even... It's like minorities in America versus, like, the rest of the world. And I guess not even minorities only. There's definitely a bunch of, like, I know my parents are rooting for, I don't know who they're rooting for. You know what's weird? People are pulling the fucking, I'm rooting for Connor, but he's got no shot. There's no way in hell that Connor can beat Floyd Mayweather. He won't even land a punch, I've heard. He won't land a punch. And then at the end of that, they'll go, but look, man, I'm rooting for Connor, so if he wins, I'll be happy. No. You don't get to fucking play both sides. You don't get to do that. Pick a fucking side. If Connor's not going to win and you think he has no shot, you don't get to then say, but when he does win, I get to cheer with the rest of you. No, fuck no, because you didn't go out on a limb for it. I mean, look, you can do whatever you want, but you're just the definition of a fair weather fan. You know, you're not a fucking Connor fan. If you're going into this fight saying Floyd's going to demolish him or Floyd's going to beat him. I mean, look. Is Floyd the favorite? See, even at this point, did you guys see Floyd put on his Instagram? Yo, McGregor, let's fight with 8-ounce gloves. I mean, are you fucking retarded? Your only shot, Floyd, in this fight was the fact that the gloves are big and you could maybe take a beating a little bit. You're making the gloves go down from 12 to 8 ounces? Wow. You're just speeding up and heavying Connor's hands, dude. What are you doing? That's the only chance you had, was to be able to avoid the heavy gloves. And if you did get conked, there's enough padding there to keep you alive. Now you're going with the mini gloves? Do you think Connor's going to feel any of your fucking 40-year-old frail-ass bitch punches? your counter punches. He's going to steamroll through that shit. Like, dude, like, I just don't understand what the fuck Floyd is doing right now. Why would you lower the ounces on the gloves? And then they're going to probably, that's probably just going to be part of the excuse later. Oh, I shouldn't have lowered the ounces. Hey, maybe they get a fucking number two out of it. Maybe they say, hey, let's do it again with 12 ounces. But I can't see, this is a one and done fight in my mind. I don't see, if Connor wins, I can't see Floyd being like, let me get my ass beat again for money. You take your fucking loss and you go home. You know, you're 49-1. You just you just brought in nine figures for this fight and you fucking enjoy the rest of your life. If Connor loses and Floyd wins, Connor goes back to UFC and defends his belts and tries to make more big headline fights because there are a lot of big names in the UFC right now. And there's no more, I think he would have, I don't think anyone would want to see Connor and Floyd go 12 rounds again and kind of get into a decision. Like, that's not, this is the moment. And I think this is the moment that the UFC destroys boxing for forever. Like, the last card the UFC just had on Saturday was so stacked, it was stupid. It had 4 to 5 main event headliners in one card. And that whole thing wasn't even, that was the build-up to the main event, which is Connor and Floyd in 3 weeks from now. The UFC has so many good fighters and exciting fights. Boxing has, like, Triple G and, like, Floyd. And fucking that's it. And Floyd's about to get knocked out. So, I don't know how the fuck I got here, but look at me. I'm all worked up. But I'm just feeling competitive as shit. And if you want to challenge me, you better have some... I mean, dude, the thing is, I've never felt more sure in my beliefs. And I've also never felt more open to other people's beliefs at the same time. And I mean that. Like, I believe what I believe to the core, but then if you come in with, like, a couple of good, like, ideas or like, a way to look at it that I didn't consider, I'm more receptive to that than I've ever been at the same time. So, which is, I think, why I'm so sure in my beliefs, is because I try to take in as much information with as much of an open mind as possible, and that's a transition, you know, for a fucking know-it-all kid like me. That's been a transition, but I think I'm at a place where I'm starting to really hear out all the different sides of shit. And I just have a fucking firm way that I look at the world, and that's why I'm going to win. Because I see the world through my lens, and I'm not going to sacrifice my vision and my outlook to appease anybody else, you know? Maybe in one-on-ones, I'll just go with the old classic, fair enough, you know? You get into a little dispute, fair enough, and you put it to bed. But that's not going to change the way I feel. And I'll continue to expand on these ideas as these go forward, you know? I'm just a little worked up today, so fuck it. You know, that's what came out. I never know what's going to happen when I press record on this bad boy. But I'm going to put this one to bed, and I'm going to take this energy and grind out a bunch of work I have to do. So I love you guys. Thanks for listening to my little rant today. And I'll catch up with you next Wednesday. Maybe talk a little bit of football since there's some NFL this weekend. Enjoy the games. Enjoy your weekend. I'll talk to you next week. Peace.